Hey, all of you this morning. I am not Jeff Allen. He is driving back with our high school senior, graduating seniors. They've been on a cruise this week, and they're on their way back, so please pray that they will continue. I was teasing him saying the trip home from Cape Canaveral is the most dangerous part of the trip, so we'll continue to pray for them. A couple of announcements I want to make. First of all, if you will, on the pew pads, if you know kind of what to do with those things, just sign them and pass them down. And if we have guests in here and they look puzzled, if you would, help them with that. Sign your name, that type of thing, so we'll know that you've been here in worship today. A couple things that you do need to know. Probably as you came in this morning, you saw that the gymnasium was open. New gym, receiving area, all of that is open. Mitch has told me to tell you, feel free, come on in. We'd love for you to see that. Try not to drag your feet on the gym floor, though. Scuff up the floor, but pick your feet up when you walk on it. But it's a beautiful facility, and we want you to have a chance to see that. And in the very near future, they have the furnishings that will be coming in, and all of that will be put in place. And we'll have an open house here in July, and we're excited about that. And at that time, we'll talk about the programs that will be available in there. And the Recreation Committee is working diligently on getting all that together. So if you would, please feel free, walk through. If you have questions, I think Mitch and Charlie and those are out there, be glad to answer your questions on that. Tonight at 7 o'clock, you've been hearing about this, but today is the day. We will in here, at 7 o'clock, we'll have a youth choir concert, the combined choirs of First Baptist Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Smoke Rise Baptist Church out of Georgia will be here to sing for us. Jeff Parker, who many of you know, is at First Baptist Chattanooga, and that's our connection with them, so come and support that. Next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we will have a combined commissioning service in Smith Hall at 9 o'clock. Now, just because it's at 9 o'clock doesn't mean you get a pass on it, okay? you come at 9, be in there with the people that are there normally at 9 o'clock. We'll have a great commissioning service there for those who are going down to Grifton for our home mission project, and that is a perfect segue into Roger Jones.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Great day. We're almost ready to go to Grifton. We're about $1,000 short of our money required to go. So if you feel led to do something about it today, you can still remember my birthday. And make a donation to the home mission project. We are in uncharted waters this year. We're building a ranch. We've got about five or six ramps to build, and if we get those completed, then we'll start helping install. If we get through, we'll come home early. But anyway, we need you. There's still room to sign up.
Deadline's today, though, right? Don't they need to sign up today if they're going? Probably so. Okay.
Five seats out there on the table as you head out at Smith Hall. But we're excited. This is different. We're going to be touching more people than when we build a single house. But we'll be back on that project next year. And this year we are doing the right. Thank you,
Roger. A couple other announcements. As I've already said, Jeff is not here this morning, and our children's ministry intern, David Hodge, will be doing children's time. So children, behave, okay? Don't make it rough on him. This is his first time, all right? And we want him to stick around, so y'all go easy on David this morning. But if you all will come up after our first congregational hymn and be with him right here on the steps, I know that you're going to have a good time together. There are a lot of other announcements. I'm not going to read them all to you. They're under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Take that with you. Be sure and read them. Keep up with what's going on. It's a busy summer. It's a great summer. A lot of excitement around here. So keep up with things that are going on, and be sure and call us if you have any questions about it. If you're a guest here this morning, we want to welcome you. I hope that you were able to give us your information there to where we can contact you. We promise we won't badger you, but we do want to make sure that you feel welcome. Our ushers are here at the front, and they're going to be returning down the aisle. And as they go down the aisle, if you're a guest with us for the first time, if you would just slip up your hand or just kind of wave at them a little bit to catch their attention, and they'll give you some information about College Park and all the ministries here. And again, if you have questions, feel free to grab me or Mary or David or somebody at the conclusion of the service. We'll be glad to answer questions for you, and we want to make sure that you feel the warmth here in your visit that we experience every week, and it truly is a blessing. So glad that you are here with us this morning. We are here to worship. There is a lot going on. There is a lot of ministry opportunities, but all of it begins with worship. It helps us keep in perspective why we're here. So as we begin in time of worship now, I want to invite you to prepare your heart, prepare your mind, open yourself up to Christ, and let him minister to you as we give praise and worship to him.
Lord, we come this morning to declare that your name is above all names. Lord, we praise you because we know that your spirit is present here with us this morning. Lord, we thank you for your saving grace, for your eternal love. Lord, for your patience with us day after day after day. Lord, we praise you because you are all powerful. And yet you are mindful of us. Lord, as we come into this time of worship, Lord, help us to sing and to listen and to pray with all of our might. Lord, help us to hear your voice this morning. And Lord, let us go forth having known you as you walk with us. Help us to minister to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
Awake, my soul, and sing.
Sing to the one who is the great God over all gods. He knows the depths of the earth, and the mountains belong to him. He made the seas, and he formed the dry land. Sing to the one who created the earth in beauty, full of sights and sounds and smells which declare his glory.
Awake, my soul, and sing.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Sing praises to the one who gives us life, who sustains us day after day, holding us in his love.
Awake, my soul, and sing.
Sing praises to the one who gave his life for us, who forgives our unfaithfulness. Today, as he speaks, do not turn away from his voice. Hear him and follow. Listen and be changed.
Awake, my soul, and sing.
Sing praises to the one who makes us one, who draws us into community through his love. Sing praises to the one who takes our differences in backgrounds and talents and giftedness and knits them together into the body of Christ. Sing praises to the one who wants to fill us with grace in such a way that grace overflows to the world around us.
Awake, my soul, and sing.
Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for me, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity.
For you for all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or free, female, for you are all in one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. It comes from Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Does anybody know what this is?
Is it called for a library?
There you go. It's a membership. It's a library membership card. You know what? You know what the good thing about this card is? Anybody can get this card. No matter if you're a female, boy, white, black, red, yellow, anybody is entitled to this card. With this card, you can go in and read books, use the computers, do anything in the library that they have. Once you become a member, you're a member for life. And that's the great thing about this card. It also, it's a good picture of how it is in the family, in Jesus' family. Once you become a member, you're a member for life. He doesn't care if you're black, white, red, yellow, boy or girl. You're a member. And does it cost to be in Jesus' family? No. Just like this library card, it doesn't cost to be a member. What? But if you don't have one, ask your mom to get one. It'll be my favorite. So what have we learned today? Being in Jesus, it doesn't cost anything to be part of Jesus' family, does it? You gain all the love that everybody that's in that family is entitled to. Is that right? Every day. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, thank you for accepting us, no matter if we're boy, female, black, white. I want to thank you for such a wonderful day and pray that we have more wonderful days to come. And thank you for accepting all of us as your family. In God's name, pray. Amen.
Giving him a little critique here. Rough. He said it was a rough crowd. Thank you, David. Today our scripture will be leading us to think about oneness in Christ, as I'll be reading from Ephesians 2, 11 through 22, if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word, and let's go to him in prayer. God, thank you so much for prayer, for the opportunity just to call out to you as a body or individually. And lifting from the word which we have read today, we thank you especially for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior, which opens up the grace to all who would come, who would hear the voice of Jesus calling and would accept him as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for your love, which is broad and deep and wide, much more than we could ever imagine. Your love, which reaches out into the hearts of those who still walk in darkness. Your love, which reaches out to those who know you to strengthen us and to fill us more with yourself. We ask, O God, that our hearts would be open and ready to testify of the light and the grace that we carry inside. Help us not to go through our life with blinders on, not paying attention to those around who need you, but help us to walk through our very ordinary days with an extraordinary God inside of us, ready to reach out at any moment and share the love of Christ to those we come in contact with, that others may know you and have that eternal life. Thank you so much for offering your Son. Thank you that your heart was broken so that we might find life. Thank you, God, for sending your Son. And just help that treasure just to spill out of us onto other people, to expand and to grow. Help us to allow us to make ourselves accessible to you, that you can fill us up with that light, with that living water. So, Father, help us to offer that living water to others. Now, Lord, we lift up to you people today who may be here who are experiencing fear or who are overwhelmed by life, who are lonely, people who need a special extra touch of your hand, an extra measure of your presence today, and all of those who could not be here that need your presence strong within their lives. Please express yourself to each of us and to our church as a congregation, exactly like we need and exactly what we need to hear, that we can grow to be all that you need us to be, that we may glorify your name. It's in your name we pray this prayer. Amen. Thank you.
What a beautiful song, and what a beautiful day. Do you remember last week, this time, I was just thinking about what a difference a week makes. Last year, when we were gathered here at church, I would say that the first thing that most people started talking about was, how long were you without power? When did yours come back on? And then we would go into detail of all of that. And I got to thinking, you know, that's what lost people are going through right now. People who are lost that need to hear the word of God are wandering around in the darkness looking for their way. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to share the good news with them, with all of the ones that God wants to hear his word, because as we have heard many times today, God loves everyone and wants everyone to be his child. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this time of morning to give you praise and honor. Lord, you have been so good to us and blessed us in so many ways, and we are so undeserving, but you love us anyway. And thank you for that grace and for that love that is so hard for us to even comprehend. Lord, we know that for those that are blessed, there is a responsibility to also share and to also be good stewards of the things that you have entrusted us with, the earth and the air that we breathe, and Lord, the resources that we have, because we know that you own everything, and we want to remember that you love the gifts that the giver gives so freely from the heart. Bless our gifts as we bring them to you now at this time. And Lord, thank you for the opportunities that we have to share and to also to share the good words of your coming and your love for each of us. Lord, thank you for this staff and for the leadership that each provides for us. These things we pray in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Don't you love our musicians? Man, I tell you what, if you haven't told Teresa and Sheila and the choir and Mary that you appreciate them and their work that goes on all week long in preparation, if you haven't told them lately, tell them. Because they do a magnificent job, and we really do appreciate your work, and it's a blessing to us. We really appreciate it. Let's read some. You want to? Will you join with me? Galatians chapter 3. David read a little bit of this a little earlier, but we're going to read it again. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. We're going to talk about one, about being one this morning. Galatians 3, beginning in verse 23. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Now, hold your thoughts, hold your questions. We'll get to that phrase right there because it's misunderstood a lot. All right? Verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There is a story that is told about a student minister. Student minister is kind of like an intern on steroids, man. It's kind of like, you know, just a ramp up from an intern, okay? Student minister was in this Methodist church serving there for the summertime. Now, during the absence of the senior minister, who is the supervisor, the young man is asked to perform a funeral service for a devoted Baptist because the Baptist minister was also out of town in this little small town. Now, with some misgivings, he conducted the service, but then he wandered. It's kind of those, you know, buyer's remorse or barrier's remorse, you know. He's like, have I done the correct thing here? Have I broken any rules? So when the senior minister, Methodist minister, comes back, he said, you know, he told him, now I buried this Baptist over there because they called and asked, and I'm not sure if I've violated any church policies by performing this burial service for a Baptist. And the senior minister says, absolutely not. Bury all the Baptists that you can. You know, yeah, I wonder if Paul knew that story, because he says there's no longer Jew nor Greek. There's no longer slave nor free. There's no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And when he wrote those words about the inherent unity that is ours by virtue of faith, you can safely assume that some of the original hearers of his word, the original readers of his word, were proponents of burying all the Baptists that you can, except instead of Baptists, they probably would have used labels like Judaizers or Libertines or some of those other categories of people that were running around thought not to be true believers. You see, from day one in the church, from the time Jesus left here in the church, there's always been tension surrounding the extent and the expression of our unity in the church as believers, as Christians. How far do we go? How far do we go in accommodating our understandings and our beliefs with those claimed by others who believe in Christ? How do we live and work together in the same community? How do we serve with these people who differ with our particulars of theology? I've got to tell you, I am so grateful. I really am. I am so grateful to be a part of a body of believers who we agree about the things that are important, and we don't get upset when we disagree about the things that really aren't important. I am grateful to be a part of that body. We agree on the foundations of the faith, and some of the other stuff left for interpretation, we don't get all upset with each other when there's disagreement. It actually makes for good conversation, good learning. It stretches us. But the church to the Galatians, or the letter to the Galatians, assumes a lot of these questions about how do you work together when you disagree? You know, how do you become a single congregation of one mind? What's that like? Is that even necessary? These questions. And understand, Galatia was a region. It was a region. It was a province in the Roman Empire. And the church that's being addressed there was not a single fellowship. It was a group. It was a collection of assemblies located in various towns that were populated by quite a diverse collection of believers. Paul's aim is to affirm their primary identity, not as churches or believers in isolation or in distinction from one another, but as bodies that are one in faith in Christ Jesus. That's the important part, he said. And to the Galatian Christian, Paul frames the argument for unity as arising out of faith rather than law. And that was a pretty natural choice, as the opposition that Paul faced, the Judaizers that kept following behind him saying, yeah, faith's good, but you also need this, you need that, and you need that, and you need the other, and don't forget this, and this part of the law, and that. And this group that kept following him, Paul is facing them constantly and trying to teach the people. This faction that sought to draw the church boundary line on the basis of a strict adherence to the law of Moses. They were saying to be a true believer, to be a true Christian, you had to keep the law of Moses. And here's the other part. All of those hundreds and thousands of rules and regulations that had been added to the law over the course of the centuries in Judaism. They said you've got to do all of this stuff in order to be saved. In order to be a true believer, you have strict adherence to all of this. Otherwise, you're not part of the true church. Now, Paul was uniquely qualified to kind of teach the church through this process. He was a Pharisee. He was a brilliant Pharisee. He was a brilliant man. If you don't believe me, go back and read the book of Romans, and you will understand his brilliance. God had gifted that man with incredible intelligence, and he used that to teach. He was created for a time such as that. And as a Pharisee, he taught the church. He says, do not dismiss the Mosaic law or its function outright, but keep it in perspective. And then he taught them what that perspective was. He says, view it kind of as you would a disciplinarian. Now, let me tell you about the term disciplinarian. In the first century, the term disciplinarian referred to a servant whose main function was to accompany children to school and keep them out of trouble. Evidently, they had some of the same issues then that we have now. And for all you school teachers, you can insert your comments here about how what a blessing it would be if every parent sent a disciplinarian with their child so school teachers could actually, instead of being disciplinarians and everything else. Don't write letters if you disagree. Just bear with me here. A disciplinarian to keep the child. Now, this was from age 7 until 16 that this disciplinarian accompanied, escorted the child, and supervised their conduct. But at age 16, there was a public ceremony. Everybody formally recognized the end of childhood and acceptance into the adult community, and that ended the term of the disciplinarian. Everybody with me? So Paul is arguing that the law's function was an interim one as it relates to salvation. Hear that. Don't go out here saying, Raymond said it, Paul said that you don't need the law. That's not what I'm saying. He said the law's function was an interim one. Once the basis of the community and unity for the people of Israel, the law's custodianship ended when Christ came and faith superseded the law of Moses as the means for righteousness and justification. Are you with me? Your head's this way. I'd like to know that you really are. Okay. Meeting formulated prescriptions to prove yourself worthy was replaced by trust that offered yourself freely on the basis of our identity, not with the law, but with Jesus Christ. So you understand the function of the law now. You could teach a systematic theology class based on the role of Christ as our Redeemer and the law, right? Well, we'll keep going. You didn't agree quick enough. So if you'd agreed, we'd been done for the day. All right? Paul goes on to say, we are one. We are one in Jesus Christ because of who we trust, not because of our actions, not because of our worship habits, not because of our traditions, not because all of these fall into kind of lockstep precision with what somebody believes that all true believers should be, not even if we're the someone that gets to make those judgments. Paul is saying there's a critical point that you grow up in Christ, that you understand that it's a relationship with Him by which you are justified by faith. Now, there's also a critical point as we take this text for the unity of the church for that time and express it for our time. We are every bit as one with Christ in our day as they were in the church in Galatians. Paul's opponents sought to define unity in a way that was determined by a litmus test. Okay, kind of an orthodoxy test, which in that time happened to be adherence to the law of Moses. And you say, well, what is it in our time? What is it that, do we have these litmus tests? I would say, yes, we do. Unfortunately, yes, we do. We have groups that want to write down, you got to do this, 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 and this. If you're a real believer, you've got to meet this test. You know, I believe in America there's frustration. Because the culture is changing so much, because the Western world has changed so much, there has been kind of a fundamentalist movement to try to get a handle on it. How can we know what true believers look like? And so it kind of comes out of that, some frustration, some aggravation. And in times like this, we've got to watch out because those are the times when creeds of the church get abused. And we have to be careful of that. Because in our own way, sometimes denominations add fuel to this whole fire by focusing too exclusively on our own continuity and the survival of our own little congregations. And make no mistake, when individual congregations become ingrown and self-justifying, when survival and local customs become seen and used as the predominant measure for determining what's considered Christian action and belief, when all of that happens, the unity of the church is jeopardized by that kind of parochialism. The unity of the church is not something we can choose to abide by or ignore, depending on which way the wind's blowing. The unity of the church and of the Christian is given to us. Our faith makes it a matter of fact. Our faith makes our unity a foundation on which we either build or which we flounder. Our unity is not something we are charged to create. We cannot do it. The Holy Spirit was sent so that we may be one. It says it right here. That's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. We cannot create unity. We can accept it as a gift from God. We can build upon it. The band Three Dog Night back in the 70s recorded the song called One, and the lyrics go, one is the loneliest number that you'll ever... Well, as it relates to the community of faith, one is not the loneliest number. One is perhaps the greatest number. It's not lonely at all to be one with this body, is it? No, quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. We cannot create unity by coming up with a list of fundamentals or insisting that everybody practice the same liturgy. Our unity in Christ Jesus is far more dynamic than that. Do not insult God by saying unity is based on something we try to create, because it's far more dynamic, far more of a blessing than that. It's what allows us to live and to serve together in community with those who differ with us in many ways. After all, in the church, the Galatian church, after Paul wrote this letter, do you think that the Jews stopped being Jews? No. Do you think that the Greeks continued to be Greeks? Sure they did. Do you think the slaves continued to be slaves? Unfortunately, yes. Do you think free ones continue to be free? Do you think males continue to be males? Hopefully. Do you think females continue to be females? Sure. You see, the outward differences remained, but these individuals, these groups were bound in their diversity by unity in Christ, Jesus Christ. And today, the unity of the church is served in the same way. I do not believe that being one in Christ requires that fundamentalists become charismatics, or that Pentecostals somehow morph into high church liturgical, or that mainline churches be something other than what we are and feel a need to apologize for that. You know, otherwise the advice to bury all the Baptists that you can becomes for all practical purpose with substitution of whatever group we want to put in there, an unending cycle of seeking unity on our terms rather than on God's terms. What the unity of the church does call forth from us is that we affirm and live as those who are one in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't mean that we have to become more like each other. What that means is we all become more like Christ. See, that's the secret. That's what Paul is trying to teach them. What Paul is trying to teach us. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we know that our diversity is our strength, not our weakness. We know that you have created us all very different. Very different. And you did that for a purpose. And you gave us all free choice to choose you, to choose the way that you provided as faith for us, to choose a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that that is what is required. And we thank you. We thank you that we no longer have to worry about every little letter of the law as it relates to our salvation with you. But Father, we thank you for the law that was given to protect us, to teach us how to live, to help us lead lives that are free, not enslaved to ourselves. So God, you've provided all of that for us. And we just ask that you would teach us how to keep all that in perspective and all in its proper place. And that you would use us to teach others. And that you would use us to show others what it means to be truly free in Christ. And that others would see Christ in us and through us. And as we do all of that, we can point people to you. Give us that opportunity. Help us to seize those moments. And God, give us joy as we do that. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know the freedom that comes with the relationship of Jesus Christ, today's your day. We're going to stand and sing a song in just a moment, and we invite you. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. Call me this week. If you'd rather not come forward, that's fine. Call me this week. I'd be glad to meet with you. If you're here and you say, well, I am a believer, but I really haven't been living like it, and I want to kind of get back on track, talk with God right where you are. Talk with him where you are. Ask for forgiveness. Ask him to help you get back on track. I'd be glad to talk with you here if you'd like for me to do that, but certainly you can settle that with God right where you are. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of this church, it is one body. It's a great group of believers, and there's many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, if you'd like to make that public, do so as we stand and sing together now. you'd remain standing, I want to remind you, Wednesday night, we have our second edition of Fielder's Choice in Smith Hall, and there's ice cream. There's homemade ice cream afterwards. So if you're able to help in terms of bringing a churn of homemade ice cream, if you would let Janice Jordan know about that. But come, bring somebody with you, fellowship together. We do that well, so we also eat ice cream pretty well, don't we? All right. After the benediction and the response, I encourage you to greet one another, greet our guest as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can celebrate the unity that you give us through your Spirit. And Father, we pray that as we live out our lives this week, that you would give us those opportunities to express that. Express that by the way that we act. Express that by the way that we speak to one another and to others. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.